Welcome to the Resilient Mind Podcast. I'm Sam Bowler, and I'll be your co-host along with my wife, Natalie. Natalie is a licensed professional counselor in Nashville, Tennessee. She works primarily with survivors of complex trauma and specializes in dissociative disorders. The Resilient Mind is a platform for us and our guests to play our part in the bigger conversation around mental health. Specifically, we would like to raise awareness and understanding of complex trauma and dissociative disorders. So, whether you're a survivor yourself or you just stumbled upon this podcast, welcome to the conversation. We're glad you're here. Welcome to episode 4 of the Resilient Mind Podcast. Today's topic is You Are Not Broken. Natalie, tell me why you wanted to talk about this.
I want to talk about this idea of feeling like you are broken. I think that a lot of people come into my office who have experienced really horrific trauma. And they're coming in with this idea of I am broken. And I think a lot of that is coming from a place of shame, where that shame tells somebody that they're broken, not worthy, not lovable. And I think this is really what trauma does to a person. It makes people feel bad and deserving of poor treatment and even abuse. I hear every day how undeserving people feel of help. So a lot of times people are coming in feeling like they don't deserve my help, feeling undeserving of love, care, and concern, oftentimes even feeling like a burden. If you have survived difficult life experiences or trauma, I want you to know that you are not broken and you don't need to be fixed. You aren't permanently damaged or inherently bad. There are people that have hurt you, and it is my belief that they have taken their own shame and placed it on you. But oftentimes, survivors of trauma take on that shame as if it's their own. Almost like, I'll talk about a metaphor that I use sometimes, but it's almost like carrying around a backpack, and every time somebody gives you some kind of shameful message, you take this big rock representing shame and you just put it in your backpack and you carry it around and you carry it around, and it gets heavier and heavier the more rocks that you put in it. And it feels like a backpack that you just really can't put down. And so something I talk to my clients about is how these rocks don't actually belong to them, and they oftentimes belong to their abusers or people in their life who just haven't dealt with their own stuff and have put it on them. And so sometimes I have people practice just imagining what would it be like if you took some of those rocks out and just put them down. And that might feel strange and foreign at first, but you always have the option to put the rock back in your bag and notice what that feels like. But I think it's just a really good exercise to notice that these messages about how you're unlovable, unworthy, and not deserving of care and compassion, these are really coming from somewhere else. And through the practice of having grace for yourself, having self-compassion, you can learn that really you were not born feeling broken. You are not born feeling unlovable and bad. You are really born just an innocent child. You have experienced trauma from other human beings that have caused you to feel all of this shame. And this deep feeling of shame is sometimes referred to as chronic shame or toxic shame.
Can you expound on that a little bit? What is chronic shame and how does it impact trauma survivors?
Well, and maybe I should start with what the difference is between guilt and shame, because I think that's a question that I often have come up in my practice. I think people confuse those two things a lot. And Brené Brown talks about shame a lot. She's a researcher who talks about shame and has done research on shame. But she talks about how shame is more focused on self, while guilt is more focused on our behavior. So we can feel guilty for doing something wrong, and that's probably a good thing. It drives us to apologize or make amends in some way. Guilt tells us that we did something wrong. However, shame feels very isolating. It feels like a problem with you. It tells us we're bad, unworthy, undeserving of love. It very much has a I am broken feel to it. In the book, Understanding and Treating Chronic Shame, Patricia DeYoung says that shame is a relational problem, it has relational origins, and it desperately needs relational attention, even though it is kept out of sight and out of reach of a relational contact. So you may feel shame about ways that you have responded to trauma. But to answer what chronic or what's sometimes called toxic shame is, it is when a person has so much shame that they just feel bad all the time and have all of this negative self-talk about not being worthy, not being deserving, not being lovable, just being bad, which really can just take a person to a really, really dark place. And for a lot of people, they're living in that really dark place of just feeling bad all the time, which I think is really dangerous because that can even lead to not even feeling worthy to be here on this earth.
Practically speaking, what can survivors do in dealing with chronic shame?
I think it's really common for survivors to find themselves in adult relationships, whether with family members or with friends or romantic relationships, where they are receiving similar messages today. So I would say that if you are in relationships with people who are treating you as if you're bad, unworthy, undeserving of love, that might be a place to re-examine some of those relationships. And I'm not saying to necessarily get rid of them, but to try and have better boundaries within those relationships. Because it really does not help a person to grow up hearing a lot of shame messages or taking in shame messages and then to enter adulthood and to continue to take in those messages, because what it feels like is more and more evidence that this is true. I really am unworthy of love. I really am undeserving of being treated respectfully and that kind of thing. And so I think that's definitely an area to address. I would also encourage strengthening any relationships where you are treated with compassion, understanding. It's really important to have other people in your life to heal from shame. And so whether that's a friendship, a romantic relationship, a relationship with a family member, or some kind of professional like a therapist, I think it's so important to have somebody who can really hold up a mirror that is true and based in reality and help you to see yourself as lovable and worthy of respect and belonging.
Some people have learned to cope with their trauma in ways that may feel unhealthy or dysfunctional. What would you say to people who feel shame about those coping behaviors?
I think that everybody does what they need to do to cope and survive. So whether that's how you survived in the moment of the trauma, I think a lot of people feel shame about their trauma response, whether it be fight, flight, freeze, or what's called submit, which is kind of like giving in to the person who is traumatizing you. And really our brains and bodies respond in exactly the way that they need to in order to get us through that situation. So it's really common if people freeze or go into a submit response that there's deep shame around that and an internal dialogue of, I should have fought back, I should have run, I should have done something, I should have stood up for myself, when really our brains and bodies are responding very automatically if something is traumatic in the moment. As far as how people have learned to cope and survive after trauma experiences, I think there are all sorts of, I guess, what we could call unhealthy ways that people learn to cope. So that might be addictions of various kinds. It could be self-harm. It could be really any number of things, including raging, seeking out relationships for comfort, that sort of thing. And I think it's really important to try to find compassion for yourself around the ways that you have learned to survive, because it is possible that you may not be here today if you had not learned to cope in the way that you did. I think all of us, when we go through difficult experiences, find ways of getting through it. And sometimes those things aren't the most healthy things, but I think the important thing is to acknowledge that you've needed those things in order to get to where you are today, to then begin to change some of those behaviors.
So being able to have compassion for yourself in response to those behaviors and understand that though you might not be happy about the behaviors themselves, having compassion for yourself and understanding that you did those behaviors and you learned them as a way to survive. Not as some kind of malicious or it's not something that shame should be the appropriate response to.
Yes. And I think very much the remedy for shame is self-compassion.
Cool. So we've talked about, you are not broken. You've explained some things about chronic shame, all of that. I guess the last question I wanted to ask you is, what is your message to trauma survivors in reference to this, you're not broken? What would be your overall message to them?
For any people who have survived trauma and have the feeling of I am broken, I would want you to know that I believe that you have found creative, resourceful, and resilient ways of responding to the many diverse and sometimes unimaginable experiences that you have encountered in your life. I want you to know that you are strong and you are brave. It takes courage to survive, and I believe that you are incredibly brilliant for how you survived, regardless of how that may have looked from the outside. I know so many of you have been deeply wounded in a variety of different ways, but it is my hope and dream that you find what you need for your recovery. And if you're ready and willing to face the past, I really do believe healing is possible no matter what your circumstances are.
Thank you so much for listening to The Resilient Mind. We'll see you next week.